Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
We've got to get to the hotline. North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in Will Brinson. Will, I caught you on another show on this very station, and shame on you for going on to our competition, which is actually our colleagues, but we call them all competition.
Don't you guys work together?
Not really. In fact, we've done so many things to drive a wedge in between our relationships.
What show was it? Bull and Fox?
Was it Bull and Fox?
Yeah.
It was Bull and Fox.
Bull
yeah.
hates me, so that's fine.
Yes, they go after each other every day. But Will, you said something that our fans kind of took note of, which was you think the Browns are going to make a playoff run, but you don't know how genuine the playoff run is going to be. Could you explain?
No. I didn't say that it was going to be a playoff run. I said that the Browns are going to make a false hope playoff push.
Okay.
That's what they will do.
And what does that mean?
That means that they will get everybody excited. It'll be exactly like last year. They will win several games down the stretch. Of their six, I would say somewhere between four and five to classify. You know, people are like, "Ah!" Like I'll be at some point in December. Myself and various other media members, national media members, will be writing. Here's the Browns playoff scenario pieces, and there will be chatter about the Browns making the playoffs, and then somehow, some way, they'll just come up just short. And it'll get everybody excited. It'll be like Charlie Brown with the football. They'll come up just short, and then everybody will get excited about next year. And you know, maybe with good reason. I mean, I think what will happen is this team will end up finishing probably 8-8 or 9-7 and miss the playoffs. And everybody will say, well, you know, I mean, like everybody will take a step back and say, you know, this is a pretty good step. Like, maybe our expectations were a little unrealistic. Maybe 9-7 Super Bowl and bust, or like 9-7 worst case as a, you know, division winner was a little bit much, even for a team with this talent, because of some of the weaknesses and because of some of the adjustments that were being made in terms of having a first-year head coach. I mean, at the end of the day, like, a Browns team going 8-8 and then building on that when you still have all the talent left over for next year is a pretty good deal.
Will Brinson joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm not going to go where everybody thinks we're going to go, and eventually I'm sure we'll get there. What do you think of Freddie Kitchens? What do you think of the job he's done? And if they finish that 9-7, does he get year two?
I mean, I think he should get, like, if you hired Freddie Kitchens believing that he was the right head coach for the job, then he shouldn't be sacked after a single, or just use a soccer term, he shouldn't be fired after a single season. But based on the fact that he made a bunch of mistakes that a rookie head coach makes. I mean, any team that just hires and fires guys after 1 year is asking for a cyclical situation with its head coach. Like, unless you have a great candidate out there who's just a can't miss, you know, once every 5 year type of situation, then I would give Freddie a chance to learn on the job. I mean, he'd never been at the coordinator level until the middle of last year. How on earth was he supposed to call plays and manage things in game? Now, I don't think he's done a very good job of learning week to week and getting better at not making his mistakes as each week as they go along. And I think that, you know, the thing we're not going to talk about right now, but we'll talk about later, reflects poorly on the discipline and the culture around the team in the sense that, you know, you see a bunch of penalties, you see a bunch of dumb mistakes. You see a team that, even when it wins, manages to beat itself. I mean, I think all of that reflects poorly on him. But, I mean, you can't – like, the Browns have just been through – like, you're not going to fire Hugh Jackson after 0-16. You're going to can Freddie Kitchens if he goes 8-8. Like, get out of here. Come on.
All right, let's get into it. What do you expect to happen today in New York with Myles Garrett?
I mean, I think it's like one of the – you know that Abe Simpson gifts where he walks in the walks in the restaurant? And he turns around and grabs his hat and walks back out of it. I think that's what Miles is walking into. I don't know. I'm not sure he's gonna get a whole lot of reprieve. If I'm Myles Garrett, all I want to do. I mean, like it sucks that he's. I mean, it sucks that he. Like, I don't think he's that type of person. I don't think he's that embodies who Myles Garrett is. I think it's unfortunate that, you know, he's probably like I don't like I never thought Ndamukong Suh was a bad person, right? And, you know, he had to deal with the fallout of his actions by being labeled a dirty player for years. I think Myles Garrett will probably have to face some of that. It's unfortunate. But I think he's probably going to just have to suck it up and take the L on the full season suspension. I would be stunned if Roger Goodell changed. I mean, I think maybe he goes to four games. I think that would be pretty shocking. I think more likely, or I guess James Thrash goes to four games. I think more likely they just give him six games, and then it's like, all right, look, if the Browns make a playoff run, you can come back and play, just because we have to put a specific number on it. But I really think the NFL, and it's classic NFL that like this is what they're worried about, but they want to nip very quickly and very strongly in the bud the concept that its players could, you know, wield weapons or helmets as weapons on the field. I think that is something they feel very strongly about, and they can easily deal with under the CBA. Like, this is not a you know, Zeke Elliott, Tom Brady suspension situation where Myles Garrett can, you know, take this to the Supreme Court. I mean, this is a very cut and dry, you're suspended, it's on the field, this is well within our jurisdiction, you know, we are going to do what we want to do, and we are going to make sure that no one thinks we're taking it light on the guy who, you know, uses his helmet in the game. So I would be stunned if it's reduced at all.
Will Brinson, CBS Sports, joining us on the hotline. Mike Tomlin yesterday in a press conference said, yeah, we don't think we have anything to be sorry for. Essentially, that was my reading of that. Look, these two teams play again next week. They moved it to 1 o'clock. Should we be worried about any kind of retribution or how that game could play out, knowing that there's so much at stake? Some are calling that an elimination game for those two teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be first of all, it's an AFC North, you know, division rival, elimination type game, right? I mean, it's going to be physical. It's going to be ugly. I mean, the Thursday night game before any of the Myles Garrett stuff happened was ugly as hell. I mean, the Demaryius Randle hit on Deontay Johnson, that's flying under the radar. I mean, he got tossed for that. It was, you know, look, I mean, I'm not going to ascribe intent to anybody's actions, but it certainly didn't look like a clean hit from, you know, where I was standing. I think it's going to be a physical game. I would anticipate, though, that there is at least one to two strongly worded memos from the league office or at least a call or a text or something, maybe. I don't know how they'll do it, but something with strong words involved that says, hey, look, tell your players to keep it within the mustard and the mayonnaise here, because we've already got this thing lingering. It's like the Myles Garrett thing. I always call it a CNN event, right? It's, I mean, you woke up the next morning, it was on Good Morning America. It was on CNN. The NFL doesn't want that. I mean, you know, of all these things the NFL worries about, it's like they don't want violence, like excessive violence and out of control violence on the field. I mean, don't ask me why. That's just they don't want that image being portrayed on the national news. So I don't think that they want this to turn into a brawl on the field in 2 weeks. And I'm sure that they will get the message across. Whether it's heard or not remains to be seen.
Yeah, we got a text from somebody in LA goes, hey, the Myles Garrett story is on Today's show again. I'm going, yeah, that's right. Not what the NFL wants. That's not what they want whatsoever, and that's probably not a good day.
It is the polar opposite of what the NFL wants. The NFL does not want to wake up and see shots of Myles Garrett, you know, because it's happening today because of the appeal. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, star NFL defensive player sent to hear appeal on near murder case on Browns field. You know, they don't want that. I mean, obviously none of that's hyperbole, but mm-hmm. they don't want to see that on the morning news, and it's probably happening today.
What do you think of Baker?
I love Baker. I think he's going to be a great quarterback. I think that I would not be surprised if he had a great stretch run because of the defenses they're playing. Everybody's been great against Arizona. The Bengals are absolute trash on defense, and you know, we saw last year. Look, we probably just got ahead of our skis in terms of expectations for Baker. Same thing with the Browns. I mean, you know, he had a bad offensive line. You know, Mary Kay Cabot came on my podcast before the season, and this is the biggest red flag I heard about the Browns, but of Cleveland.com, obviously. And she said that, you know, they were creating this new offense and blending Freddie Kitchens with Todd Monken, and it showed. Like, he hasn't been comfortable operating whatever the Browns have been running this year. You know, I think they should have changed play callers a while ago just to ease the transition. Freddie doesn't want to give that up. I get it. Baker, you know, hadn't gotten on the same page with Odell Beckham. That's always a problem. But the offensive line hadn't been good. And, you know, look, I think we expect growth out of quarterbacks to be exponential and always in a positive direction. And that's not always the case in the NFL. I mean, you know, there are changes that happen with personnel. There are changes that happen with playbooks. You know, there are defenses, you know, defensive coordinators get plenty of more tape on you. And as a result, you know, sometimes there is a little step back before you take a big step forward. And I think, we see that with Baker. We've seen that with other quarterbacks this year, other young quarterbacks. And so, you know, it's especially tough in a year where Lamar Jackson looks like he's going to win the MVP. That, you know, the guy who I thought should have won Rookie of the Year last year isn't in that same stratosphere. But I think anybody writing off Baker based on, you know, 10 games in his second season is making a huge mistake.
Next 5 years, who would you rather have, Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield?
That's tough. Oh, man. You know what? I would have said Baker before the season. I'm not going to change it. I will say that Lamar is very much in the, you know, top five, like top – I don't know what the order is, but it's like Patrick Mahomes, Lamar, Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield. If I'm drafting quarterbacks under the age of 20, you know, 26 or whatever, those are the top. Dak Prescott has worked himself in there. Those are all the top guys. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I think right now, if you want to be a prisoner of the moment, you absolutely say Lamar, and his growth as a passer would justify that. His playmaking as a runner justifies that. But like I was big on Baker before the season. I'm not gonna sell low. So I'll stick with Baker.
Well, I want to circle back to Freddie real quick. When you were saying reasons to keep him, I look at it like he spent 13 years in the NFL as assistant coach. 31 other teams in the league never felt the need to promote him, even to offensive coordinator. So why stick with? And I understand you can't keep turning it over and can't keep turning it over. But we have seen so many glaring moments this year of, oh my God, what just happened? Why would you stick with something that has shown glaring faults throughout the year just for the sake of consistency?
Yeah, it's a fair question. You know, I think my thing is that I'm surprised that they haven't made a change with the, like, take something off this guy's plate. Like, he's clearly not equipped to deal with in his first year, as a lot of first year head coaches aren't. Play calling and all the in-game management that's going on. I mean, we've seen multiple mistakes and challenges, multiple mistakes. I mean, the timeout before the third quarter was, what was that? I mean, like every week, you know, there's something new. You see the lack of discipline. I know he's not coaching. I don't coach penalties. You know, he says, and I can say that because I'm from the South. I can use the Southern accent. I don't coach penalties. And I know he doesn't coach penalties, but, you know, at some point, you know, if you're too busy working on the offensive game plan and the specifics of it without delegating responsibility to somebody like Todd Monken to run plays and call plays, you know, you're going to lose. Like, the more stuff that's on your plate, you know, the less, the more jobs you have to do, the less good you're going to be at each one of those jobs. And that's just the reality of the situation, no matter what you're doing, whether it's coaching or, you know, being on the radio or, you know, writing about football, whatever it is. Working at the steel mill. It doesn't matter. Like, anything, the more jobs you have to do, the less you're good you're going to be at each one of those jobs. And so, to me, that's the biggest mistake here, is that Freddie hasn't recognized the fact that he needs to delegate some of that responsibility out elsewhere and to let somebody else call plays, and so he can focus on the other things and shore up the weaknesses there, because that's what's killing the Browns this season, is the you know, it's not buttoned up. I mean, it's like, you know, the mistake, the three turnovers in a row against the Patriots. I'm not blaming him for the Myles Garrett thing at the end of the game, but, like, you know, the dude, Myles Garrett loses his cool, and now you're going to be without your best defensive player for the rest of the year. I mean, that's a big problem if you're trying to save your job. So I think it's a fair point. I don't like to fire a guy after 1 year, because I think it makes it harder to hire somebody new. It consistency is key in the NFL. But I understand why people in Cleveland will want him out.
All right, Will Brinson, follow him on Twitter, at Will Brinson, CBS Sports. Terrific job. Plenty to react to. Thanks so much for coming on, Will.
Yeah, guys, have a great day.
All right, there he is, Will Brinson on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He set the start of the call. a kind of a phony playoff push. We'll get to that. And he basically doesn't think there's going to be much going on in New York at all when it comes to this meeting with Myles Garrett and the appeals. That's all coming up straight ahead. Plus, we'll take your calls next here on 92.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.